Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 5th, 2013. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to that one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And I know a lot of you folks out there that are listening on satellite, and some of you even by telephone, you don't like to use the Internet, or you just don't use the Internet. You can call for any information that you need. But you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, our mailing address. Well, just about anything about our ministry or this guest, you can find that at prophecyhour.com, which is like a hub for our ministry. You can even find out about the homeless and poor ministry. You can find out how to donate, so on and so on and so forth. Now a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's exciting guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio goes tonight according to your will and not mine, and not necessarily our guest's will. And I just ask that you give everyone that listens tonight ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest, Trey Smith, originally Brian Trey Smith, is an ex-safe robber, author of the documentary producer, founder of God in a Nutshell Project. Trey Smith is best known for his role, I guess, in the 1999 safe robbery of a prominent television evangelist, Mike Murdoch, a lead fundraiser for TBN, PTL, Daystar, Benny Hinn, and others. When Smith released a book entitled Thieves, One Dirty TV Pastor and the Man Who Robbed Him in 2011, which covered the safe robbery of Mike Murdoch and paints a dark picture of the claimed corrupt world of the prosperity gospel. Well, I'd really love to talk to him about that. That wasn't the reason that I've asked him on, nor the reason that drew me to him. In 2012, Trey founded the God in a Nutshell Project, which primarily consists of investigative videos on subjects like consciousness, life after death, religious corruption, ancient cultures and belief systems, and even what some people call fringe topics such as aliens or Hitler's involvement in the occult. Tonight, I brought him on to talk to us about a video that I've seen, and it's just dynamite. That video is called Nephilim, the Origin of Genetic Evil. Well, welcome, Trey. Are you there with me?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Thank you for having me on tonight. It's really glad to be on with you, my friend.
Well, I really appreciate it. You made a wonderful assortment of videos, and I again was watching the second half. I watched the first half of your video yesterday that I was talking about, and watched the second half tonight, and I'm really, really intrigued about it. Just for the record, what brought you to those sort of things, you know, to deal with those?
Well, when I was a kid, I really liked the Egyptian stuff. I really had a fascination with Egypt and the hieroglyphs and these kinds of things, and what the god structures were there, not just in Egypt, but in other ancient cultures too. But But I really did, you know, put a lot of time and diligence and fell in love with, you know, a lot of the early archaeologists that were out there. Some of these guys were true. You know, guys like Petrie were true, you know, Indiana Joneses. I mean, they're literally defending these sites with guns. I mean, you're finding valuable stuff, and there's other interested parties. So in a sense, it really, you know, it really can be exciting. But those ancient sites are indeed they possess a great deal of our history. And that history, not surprisingly, you know, if you're diligent with it, is going to match up like a glove with what you're reading in the Bible, in my opinion.
Well, that's not only your opinion, but of many others, but really not enough. We did have on with us earlier Rob Skibka, who wrote Babylon Rising and a book on the Nephilim, but you take it to a whole different level with showing this video proof with the skulls and everything. That really intrigued me. I guess we'd call that part one of your video. Why don't we go on into that?
Well, the skulls are certainly a fascinating. Now, a lot of those skulls that are in that new Nephilim video, a great deal of those come out of Peru. Now, these are found all across the world, and I wanted to illustrate that in the video, but the largest discoveries of them in terms of just sheer volume of skulls is out there in Peru. These are not a made-up thing. It's not a, you know, an internet hoax. It's not a, these are real skulls. In fact, you can go down there and visit the sites. There are several museums down there that offer these skulls on display. And that's only been a reality here for about the last 4 or 5 years, that you could actually go down and tangibly look at these. I don't know if you can put your hands on them and things, but you can certainly see them. The skulls that we're talking about that are elongated, these elongated skulls, the big question is, are they human or are they bound? You know, is it the product of binding somebody's head? The argument that a great many in the archaeological community have had is that it's all a result of binding babies' heads. And it is true, there's a lot of that. Okay, so a lot of your skulls are formed by some type of binding. A lot of these skulls are not formed that way. Some of these skulls are 30% or better in their actual head volume. Okay, and it this has implications, you know, on brain size as well. And if you associate brain size with, you know, with intellect, I'll let you draw your own conclusions on that. These are typically found around megalithic sites out there in Peru, and I would not be surprised if there were unusual characters found in Egypt around megalithic sites like the pyramids. But there's no record of that. There is, however, in Peru, these tend to be royalty, the authentic skulls. So when you're looking at the humongous ones, the really big, dramatic-looking skulls, you're either looking at royalty or you're looking at close family members of royalty. You're looking at, you know, an inner circle of folks that are believed to be royalty. These skulls have some structural differences that are different from a human skull, not just in the head size. A human skull has what amounts to three plates. You've got your frontal plate, and then you have two plates right behind that. I believe these are called the parietals. Mm-hmm. Now, every your skull, my skull, any human being's skull should have these two plates, which are clearly defined. So they've got a crease, a seam, where they come together between the two of them. These elongated skulls are not like that. They have what amounts to a very large skull cap on the back. And doctors, physicians, people, I mean at this point, thousands of people have viewed these skulls. Maybe I may be underestimating the numbers on that.
Right.
But at least hundreds of doctors, if I'm understanding Brian Forrester out there, who's been working with these skulls for at least the last 4 years, And it's astounding. What?
Well, I'm just going to say, you know, we're talking about the skulls, but we really haven't said, well, what are they? You and I and others consider that these aren't human. What are they then, I guess?
Well, what I believe that they are, I believe that they're the product. I believe that sorry, my tongue's getting tied. I believe they're the product of evil. And what you have less of in Peru, that you have more of in Egypt, and what I went through a lot of in that Nephilim video, is that in their symbology and in their, you know, their very stories and belief systems, I believe they are trying to express to you what the situation was. These cultures are heavily into occult, and that would most certainly apply to cultures out there in Peru, most certainly the Mayans. And so many of these rituals are very bloody. They're very sinister. They're almost always, particularly out there. I do know quite a bit about the Mayans, and the Mayans had a deep love and fascination for sacrifices, specifically to serpents. And these were their gods.
It's really amazing how, you know, these aren't just South American-centered. We see the same types of things, artifacts, you know, worldwide. And so, boiling it back down, so while you say evil, let's be more specific. These are Nephilim. Define a Nephilim. That's what I want you to do.
Well, anything that is produced by something that would be a fallen angel, anything that is a hybrid product at its inception of the fallen angels, even if it didn't look weird, even if it looked like you and I, and I think one of the misconceptions that people have, even in Christianity, which I'm surprised at, is this. Sort of, you know, we kind of believe in the occult, but we really don't. And people say this term all the time. You know, there's Luciferians doing this and doing that. Well, even if you don't believe in Satan, they do. Well, okay. Well, let's play that one out for a minute. I mean, what do you mean? Even if you don't believe in Satan, why do they believe in Satan? I'll tell you why they believe in it. Because what they are doing when they're doing their ceremonies and when they're doing their rituals is very tangible. It's very real. This isn't all little apparition-y type of, you know, maybe we saw a ghastly wind or maybe the ticker on the Ouija board moved a little bit. But this is real stuff. And the reasons they believe in that so strongly is because it works. The summoning thing, and it works to degrees. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I mean, you can have a couple of kids playing with the occult, and spooky things happen. Now, that may be to a lesser degree than if you've got a literal culture whose focus is the worship of Lucifer in whatever form that may be. It may be a serpent. Right, it may be a variety of different things, different shapes and formations, but all roads lead to the same place with that occult stuff. That is my extremely strong opinion.
Let me butt in a minute. Yeah, absolutely. And there's too much when you really start looking like you've looked and others and. The connections from one to another is just really astounding, which you astoundingly pointed out in this video. But people like you mentioned Aleister Crowley. Talk about what he summoned up.
Well, he's the first one in the 20th century to have actually, as far as I know, I mean, as a public picture, to have drawn an image of one of these large-headed characters that looks like what commonly gets called a gray alien. So this thing had a big head, and this was a spiritual guide to him. In fact, this was the very character that had gave him what he called the Book of the Law. Now, this Book of the Law thing is, well, it's essentially all the reverse of Christianity. And that's what you're going to find with all of this alien stuff. Now, there are, of course, thousands of drawings today, and Aleister Crowley is certainly not the first one talking about entities, or even entities that have that sort of appearance with sort of the large head and the large eyes. But he is the first drawing during the 20th century, and he was a very notable name. You'd be hard-pressed to find a hardcore rock band that did not think very highly of Aleister Crowley, even integrate him into the songs. So he was, you know, he's basically what amounts to an occult folk hero. And when you're reading things by Aleister Crowley, you know, he's not being joking with you and cutesy, or maybe I saw something, maybe I didn't. These are people that are diehard serious about what they're telling you. So they're either lying to you and making it up, or they're reporting to you accurately hardcore occult things, which almost always lead, ultimately, in large scale, will almost always lead. In fact, let me just state, always lead to human sacrifice, will always lead to all sorts. Usually it will lead to a lot of sexual stuff, and that's often its draw in, is... you know, you're going to get a little bit out of your mind. You're going to get, high with your friends and do some kind of a little practice or experiment. But these will always go deeper and darker. That thing will carry you by the hand as dark as you are willing to go until there is no way out. And that's another interesting point about this stuff, is that it always requires some type of permission or invitation, whether it be in small scale or whether it be an actual culture building a ziggurat to summons the thing. Either way, the thing appears to need an invitation, which should make two direct statements about it. Number one, that it apparently is not as in charge as it would like you to believe it is. Because if it needs your permission, then it doesn't sound to me like it's in charge of very much.
Right.
And number two, that there is absolutely no good reason to call something that needs your help out of wherever it is a god.
Hmm.
Right, that's typically what I define as a leech.
Yeah, exactly. I never thought of it that way. You know, I do remember the calling thing. You know, because you see in all the vampire movies, you know, that the vampire has to be invited into the house, otherwise he can't come in. So you know that makes him weaker, of course. But go ahead.
Well, you're going to find probably in much all of the mythology on Earth, including the vampires that you just mentioned, you're going to find, I mean, these stories are fictionalized, but absolutely, you're going to find in these accounts, you're going to find elements that I believe are factual and are rooted in some kind of original truth. Just like a movie we make today has, you know, it's got elements of truth or day-to-day life in it that we've sort of fictionalized. And that's what you're getting there, in my strongest opinion, with that vampire stuff. And going a step further into the idea of you're passing the strength of the, you know, if one vampire drinks another vampire's blood, he's become stronger, and the vampire himself needs to feed off of, you know, blood of sort of innocent, and the more innocent they are, the better. You know, if this is a child, boy, that's just a supreme one. See, all of these come from occult themology. All of it does.
Yeah, and, absolutely. People just don't realize for the most part, I don't believe that they realize what they're getting into. Let me focus on this for just a moment. We've got about 6 minutes left for break. But what about Hollywood? I mean, sometimes it seems they just get it dead on. You know, where do you think those things come from? Do you think that maybe they might, I don't know, telling the story in a rough sort of manner?
Well, we don't question our thought. I mean, as children, we grew up with the cartoons, with the little angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. And what we've done is far too much fictionalization of things that I believe are very real. And you should always question the inspirations, the motivating forces behind things. And that's what artwork is. It is some type of inspiration. And the question is, where did that source come from? Was it from your own head or was it from somewhere else? And that's where you get into the idea of channeling, which is, you know, when you begin talking about the occult, these people understand how it works. We'll go over some of that after the break, because it's a little more detailed than can be covered in 6 minutes. But that's the idea. I mean, none of these people are confused about the fact that the spiritual world is not only real, but is extremely tangible. It's the Christians that are questioning that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes back to that thing, like you said, well, I don't believe in it. So if I don't believe in it, therefore it doesn't exist. And that is just so ludicrous. And that's what leads them so open to attack and for these things to go on. You know, just like saying, well, I don't believe in bank robbery, but you went down there to the bank and it was closed because the money's gone. You know, it still happened whether you believed in it or not. You know?
Yeah, well, sure, absolutely.
Yeah. We've got about, just about 2 minutes before break time. Yes, you've got a lot of videos over here. Tell them a little bit about your website and tell them where to find it, please.
Well, you can go over to, you can just type my name into YouTube and you're going to find a bunch of videos and take your pick, whatever attracts you. There's one that's my personal favorite is called The Theory of Everything. And the reason I like that one is because it gives you some practical reasons, whoever you are on the other side of the radio show, that walk you through reasons why evolution doesn't work. So, and these are very easy reasons that are very difficult for even your most hardcore atheist to get around. You may even convert them in conversation about it. And I wanted there to be a video out there that really did that. And in my view, what the jugular is for evolution, there's so many reasons it's not true, but this video goes through a lot of the genetics in very, very easy to understand way. And you're really holding evolution's jugular in the palm of your hand when you have that knowledge. And I would highly suggest, no matter what you believe on the other side of the radio show, that you take a look at that. You owe it to yourself, and you're worthy of having that knowledge. You did not come from a monkey.
Well, amen. But and folks, remember, we even brought it up on the program the other night. You know, we believe, you know, if they can get away from you believing in the Creator and, you know, Him creating the earth, then everything else is just downhill for them. They really basically won the battle. I'm looking at his website right now, and it's actually TreysNutshell.com, TreysNutshell.com. And, of course, if you folks aren't listening to this live and you're listening to it in an archive or someplace, then wherever that archive's at, there will be links to his website directly. You folks that are listening live, if you can't find it, call me. We'll be back in 3 minutes with more, and maybe we'll talk about channeling when we get back. We'll be back.
Pastor Dan will be right back. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Food prices going up. Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but the poor we're talking about is the poor that are just barely able to keep roofs over their head, and they come looking for all kinds of things. In this 14th year now that we've been doing this, we've helped thousands upon thousands of people with clothing, food, Bible, shoes, first aid, blankets. Well, this list just goes on and on because we don't have a required list of what they need. People walk in, they ask, and that's how it goes. Many people come in to get the gospel, of course, and to get miracle prayers. We need your help to keep going. We've been doing this. We also need to be able to get the woman's shelter open. And pray about it. We need donations of large print King James Bibles. And people in the city of Wichita think we're a little bit different. City with over 800 churches, we have to drive 60 miles in order to fill their needs of the various things. Like I said on my radio program about an hour ago, I had a big, huge church, about a third of a block area, you know, and they called me wanting to know if I could find, if I had any way to help a woman with three children because they didn't have a program to do it. We are just a little tiny place. They have millions of dollars, but yet they want to send it to us. So why do many people come to us for help? Well, love is the first answer. Then they're treated as family as a second. And beyond that, we really, again, have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask. And if we don't have a way to fill the need, we pray it in. This is why the agencies tell all their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when their guidelines stop them from helping, the employees send them to us. people who have, again, who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that has no budget. We are the very last hope for so many. And, folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help. But the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all of this information at prophecyhour.com or simply call me at 620-878-4682. And now, prayerfully, our guest is still here, and that's Trey Smith. Are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still with you, man.
That was a mouthful.
That is your concern. It sure was, man. Sure was.
Well,
yeah, I had wanted to pause on the channeling and wait till after the break because that subject really this is an interesting subject, the channeling, and a lot of the documents. Well, let me give you an example. When you're dealing with some of the large names, founders of the New Age. Not just in the United States, but in the world, the largest names in this, you're typically going to come back to people like Helena Blavatsky. Now, she was born in 1858, and she started the Theosophical Society in 1875. And of course, her work was carried on by other folks, some of whom are actually instrumental in the in the putting together of what we call the United Nations, like Alice Bailey, who had for a time she had a newspaper, sort of a rag, that she called the Lucifer. Now they shortened that name so it was a little more confusing down to just Lucius, but of course the idea is the same. Many of these founders, of just in the New Age, for example, without looking at any of the other stuff. Blavatsky is very open, and so is Bailey, in their writings about the need for a coming world order. Now realize that these people, and these are just a couple of examples. I could take you through lists of important people that would bring goosebumps to your skin, and some of them in power now. Dare I say, many of them in power, probably more now than there were then. You're looking at the inception of the building of these things towards this idea of a one-world order. Now, most of this stuff in the writings of someone like Blavatsky or in the New Age in general, when you're dealing with things like ascended masters, the idea there is that you're inviting in the same thing Aleister Crowley was with his big-headed creature, which was a lot spookier looking. See, the New Age people want to give you sort of a peachy-looking thing, you know, something that makes you comfortable, man. But the idea is that you're now taking guidance from some type of outside spiritual force. Now, Blavatsky and Bailey, they made no bone about this, that force was, and put together some of the most eloquently written arguments on how all of the ancient cultures were worshiping Lucifer and how Lucifer really should be the one worship God. And that Lucifer, not only are they stating this, but that they would need some kind, that they all understood that they had this problem, right? And the problem is this, is that you need some kind of a crisis. You need some kind of a, you need something that will globally bring the people together. Right? Where they're willing to, where they're willing to abandon the past, abandon the old ways. Now the old ways, see that's code word for Christians. Okay?
Right.
And switch over to something new so that their anointed one can come forth, the one that's going to bring peace and order. And they may use the word Christ, they may use the word Christ-like, but you look at their documents, and I promise you, you'll find no confusion that who they're talking about, and they're stating it to you. They're talking about Lucifer. They're talking about, they have no shortage of praise for Lucifer and Satan. And most all of these documents that were funneled by both of just these two women were done through channeling, were done through the direct idea, the direct mindset that you are trying to import information from a place of spiritual darkness. They would define it as spiritual light. okay,
right,
into this place, and then they're going to do what the New Agers will often call automatic writing. They think they invented that idea. The truth is that that idea is as old as writing on a rock. But nonetheless, that's a new, you know, coined term for it, is that you're letting the spirit write through you, mm-hmm, or you're channeling in the spirit to speak through you. And, whereas there are people out there that I would say are, you know, they're doing this as, you know, fraud or whatever, an awful lot of these people are not. And you can find the source of their channeled messages. See, what the information that they are bringing forth all carries some basic similarities. Number one, that there needs to be some type of a new world order. Now, the New Age community has tamed that lingo down some from their original founders because, you know, they don't want it to sound like they're on board with that.
Right.
But what they when they're talking about their Age of Aquarius that needs to come forth, right, this New Age of Aquarius where everybody's going to be happy and joyful.
Right, yeah, I remember when all that talk was about, yeah.
Well, and these people, a lot of these ideas that may have been loosey-goosey during the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, see, these people are functionally in your governments right now. They've cleaned what I'm telling you is that the Weather Underground crowd, it's not by accident that the Weather Underground crowd has all ended up polished, you know, they've cut their long hair off, they've taken off their LSD tie-dye T-shirts, and they put on business suits, and they're up there, and they're in most all of your offices of power, and that's why they're making decisions the way they are.
Yeah, absolutely. To me, it's real clear when we talked about some of those things about the Weather Underground with Obama and his associates, and how he was nurtured into it. So, yeah, we're not born to what you're talking about. Those ex hippies, so to speak, or whatever they want to call themselves.
Sure.
Now being in power, you know, and that is in itself a little spooky because I can see it. It's clear.
They're working an agenda, and I would, you know, a lot of people use these terms like Illuminati and these other kind of things. And whilst I would make no argument that the most powerful people on Earth, by and large, not all of them are against you. It can easily seem that way, but you do have good people left that are fighting on your behalf. But there's an awful lot of bad people out there. When they're representing their pyramid with the eye floating on top, the eye floating on top is not, from my view, some type of secret organization. It's Lucifer himself. See, because the information, these people can be separated. They can be in the New Age. They can be having, you know, alien experiences. Man, I'm having alien experiences.
Yeah.
They can be, but the message is all identical, which tells me that the source of the information that they're getting is all coming from the same place. See,
yeah,
because the aliens have got one message to give, you know. Hey, man, everything just needs to be cool. Just go with the program. There's only one thing that you really don't need to be listening to, and what is that? That's Jesus Christ, right?
Right.
So that's what the aliens want to tell you. You have no idea. It will give you shivers to begin listening to some of these hypnotherapy sessions, and I've listened to tons of these, and the people all have a message from aliens. And a big portion of that they want you to spiritually evolve. And who's not spiritually evolving? The people that are going to hold on to the pay. You're holding on to this Jesus Christ character. You've got to let that go and come on board with the new program. That is the message of the aliens. That's the message of the New Age. And some of these people, particularly your head leadership, are very, very, very direct about it. And these are very calculating people. They're not in those positions by accident. They got moved there, both in a physical and a spiritual sense.
Let's go with this for a minute. For number one, you know, we can see, let's look out across the country. We can say not only have they just took prayer out of the school, you know, it's if you in most schools you wear even a Jesus T-shirt or a Yeshua T-shirt, as I call him, you know, they're frowned upon or even removed from the school. You can't talk about it in the public places. They won't let the military pray in Jesus' name, and so on and so forth. And removing crosses even from national cemeteries. So they've came quite a ways, haven't they? And united under one thing. Anything that's they're about, they all have the same theme, and that's get away with Christianity.
It can very easily frighten you as a common person. But here's the thing that I've got to tell you is that these people are dead terrified. They've been dead terrified the whole time. For 2,000 years, what they are is a bunch of weasels. That's why they do this stuff in secret. That's why they're all sleazy people. And, you know, and I don't want to go through all the names of them, because even though I know many of their names, and I know many of the little cutesy organizations where they pursue this stuff, I understand they're dangerous. But I understand another thing, is that these pages were written thousands of years ago predicting that they were going to do exactly this idiocy. And it's on their own heads, each and every one of them, and I've got nothing to do with it. So when they answer, look, the life after this one is more real than this one. That I will tell you is factual certainty, and that ain't just because I read it in a book. And you'll find those same, whoever you are on the other side of this radio show, you'll find those same answers if you go out and you seek. God will present himself in the way that you need to, in whatever way that you need, I promise you, he will strengthen your faith. And these people start looking pretty pathetic. And their little demons and all the other little play game stuff. But they're going to get their way. You got to stand up to them as long as you can. But in the end, they're going to get their way. Because that's guaranteed to them. That's just the way God does business. He lets it all build up to a climax. So that way there's no confusion about who's in charge. So if he did it any other way, then, you know, maybe God could have, maybe he couldn't have. See, he lets, and that can be a terrifying news to a Christian, because you're hearing, oh, shoot, it's going to get up to the wire. I hate to tell you that, yes, it's going to get up to the wire.
Yeah,
and, and you might even lose your life in things that are coming. But don't worry about that either, because I'm telling you, you're going to be dead a lot longer than you're alive for, and the place on the other side of this one really is good. Hell is real. Heaven is absolutely real. These pages that you're holding in your hand are authentic. And the stuff that, did the Nephilim stuff in Peru come to be exactly like this, or did it come to be, did they migrate down this way, other people can argue those facts out. What I'm telling you in hand is that you've got all of the physical evidence that you need on this planet to establish, number one, that there is a God, and then number two, a bunch of horrifying, occult-littered crap has happened from start to finish since the history of this place. And the fascinating thing is that every time that I read any one of these people from these little secret societies, they all think that it's their brilliant idea that they came up with it. That's actually the part that I laugh at, because that's comical beyond belief. They think they're geniuses.
Absolutely. There's nothing new under the sun, you know. That's what the word says, and they do. It's just repetitive over and over and over. But I'm curious, you know.
They're stupid.
I can really tell from talking to you, you know, you're deeply, you do have a deep spirit, and you are convinced in what you say. What brought you to the Lord, to the truth? What brought you to the truth?
Well, I was raised up in the truth. I guess I ran through it, and I went through a lot of fiascos as a child, and even these last couple of years in putting together these videos have been, you learn as you research things. But more than that, I'll just tell you this, that these things are real, and sometimes research goes beyond research, and the answers you're looking for present themselves. And then all of a sudden it's just a game changer. You understand. See, and that's the point. And I can't tell you that on a radio show. I can't tell you that in a book or a video. I can give you a bunch of tools and hints to lead you a direction and put you in the right ballpark. And I'm not always right, by the way. In this world you're living in, you've got to question everything, because they will lie to you.
Yeah,
and even the most sincere-sounding guy like me can lie to you. I'm not, but my point is this, is that you've got to pursue these things on your own. And you have to, these answers, in my strongest opinion, are the reason why you're here. They're the reason why you're sticking around, is so that you can explore these very things. And it really will boil down to one question. It will boil down to what your heart chooses. And if you're stuck with the things in this place and the trinkets, then you've made your choice. Your choice is made. You've made it. And you will go where that choice goes.
Absolutely.
I don't sell out that cheap. And I would encourage you not to.
Absolutely. Your videos are astounding. I haven't seen the one video that you talk about yet, but I do agree with you on the principle about evolution. With evolution, you know, we've got about 4 minutes. With evolution, they've been winning it for a while. I mean, you know, and that's the biggest. If we learn how to defeat evolution, then maybe we can save some more souls, get some people pointed in the right direction.
I don't think they're worried about the evolution. It's good we're at the final minutes of the show. The next lie has got to be a really big one. And I'm promising you, well, I can't make a promise, but I can almost guarantee you that it's going to involve the alien stuff. You find that alien stuff in documents 150 years old. This stuff ain't new. It's pre-planned. I'll tell you this. And I don't want to offend anybody that's listening in that's Catholic or whatever. I'll tell you this. It's not happenstantial either that, you know, the Catholics, they picked up that Mount Graham over there, put in their Lucifer project where they're supposedly looking for aliens. And who's running that project? Is it not the head demonologist for the Catholic Church now all of a sudden believes in aliens? You got to be out of your mind. You got to be absolutely, you have to not be paying attention to let this stuff slip by you. There are no aliens coming from other planets. I can't tell you there's not an alien on another planet because I haven't visited all of them. But I can tell you this, what we're experiencing here and what's being covered here has nothing to do with a little man coming from another planet. It has everything to do with the fact that the spiritual world is not only real, you might be less real than it is.
Yeah, that's a spooky thought. I agree totally. It's such an increase. Do you think that, I think they're going to pull some grand deception with all this alien stuff soon, but, you know, things are just getting, so it seems like more and more evil, I guess, every day. Do you think that it's headed that direction?
Well, it's headed that direction, and I don't know what formulation it's going to take, but I'm telling you that that's why it's important on these videos that I keep beating it into the people, that it can be tangible. It can physically step through. It doesn't have to be a little ghost or a little psychic girl talking to a dead loved one, which, by the way, is not your dead loved one. That's a topic for another time. But the stuff can be tangible and has a very long history of it. It can be so real that it makes you can step right into your bedroom.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
The things you're dealing with are not little friendly things. They're not little things. Now, they'll offer you some little stuff. But it's not, none of this is joking stuff. You've got something that wants something from you. And that goes all the way back to the garden.
Yeah.
So just don't sell out. You don't have to. These people don't have anything to give. And if they knew they were stupid, that would at least be something. I could have some respect for them. But they don't even know that. That's how bad a shape they're in. And these are your leadership.
Absolutely. Well, wow. You know, I really appreciate you coming on, and after I watch that video, maybe some other things I'd like to have you back on, but I do really appreciate it. Anything else in particular you want to point to at your website, and then some final words?
Well, the main website I've got is called GodInANutshell.com, and we're turning that into a news site because I'd like Christians, particularly people that write good, and I know everybody believes that they write good, but we're being somewhat scrutinizing. But what I'd like is to see Christians are really all writing about current events and stuff and staying on track with the Bible, have a place where all those articles are together. There are Christian sites out there that are really good. I even like some of the people that I've badmouthed, like TBN, because they've got, you know, some, they have good people on there. It's just a mixed bag of stuff. What I'd like to see is a place that's more solid. And I don't know if I'm capable of that or not, but we're going to take a shot at it. And there's some good people involved. And that's what we're trying to structure it as, is a place you could go to and trust what you're reading. And feel safe with it.
That's a big thing. That's a big thing. There's, you know, that's the while the internet, you know what you can do with the internet, and you know you can type in any kind of a thought that you have in your brain and Google it, and something's going to come up. And so therefore that says there's good out there, but there's so much bad. And then you get a Christian poking around looking for information on this or that or the other. It might seem good to them, but they're being fed, you know, lines of garbage. So there really needs to be a place that you know, we can check each other, or, you know what I'm saying? What you're saying is have legitimate
this will
stuff.
Be an, it'll be a news site. So it'll be a, I think this will be really good. And I've gotten a lot of guys that I really like that produce quality stuff to agree to help on this, and they're gonna write on it. It's gonna be solid. It may have messiness here and there, but we're gonna do the best we can. It's a good site now. It'll be a better site next week, hopefully. I'm working on it very hard.
All right.
I hope
so. All right. Well, I pray so for you, and I'll be checking on it, and I'll be advertising it, and I really appreciate you being on, and maybe you go to him one of these days after you get it going, and we'll talk about that or many other things. But anyway, thanks for being on with me, Trey. God bless you.
That sounds wonderful. You as well, my friend.
All right. God bless. Goodbye, and shalom to you, brother.
All right, my friend.
Well, folks, that was Trey Smith. He's got some fascinating things on his website, and you should really check it out. I mean, the video, the first half of the video, he lays down proof with the skulls and the findings and the different things. And in the second half of the video, you know, starts to get a little into the strange, but it's provable, and I mean, I really wouldn't be recommending it if I didn't believe that it was a good source. There's also some other videos on there, things about what he used to do. He robbed TBN once, or, you know, so to speak. Sure, he's repented of that. That wasn't why I brought him on. He's got videos on demons and all kinds of things, but go over and check him out. That's TreysNutshell.com. TreysNutshell.com. All right, folks. Please pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church when you hear this, or support radio. You know, airtime does cost, and it costs a lot to spend hours and hours finding different people for you to listen to and for equipment and all kinds of things. So pray about a donation for radio. Right now we could use some new stuff. I can think of at least $1,500 worth of stuff that we could use that we just don't have the money for. But pray about it. Pray about supporting Messiah's Branch. But remember, folks, always be a blessing to others. If you indeed have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, how can you not be a blessing to others? Charity starts at home. It starts with those around you, your family. You start with those. You need to help your family. And from then, it just branches out. Pray about it. If you really pray earnestly about it and seek the Father, He'll answer you. Anyway, I got to get out of here before I get hung up on or something. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face truly shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace, like no one or nothing else can. The truth, peace, will set you free. Well, until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.